Wow, so here we go again. Okay, you're all welcome for this Bible study. I'm Gabriel, okay, Gabriel Christian Sierra Leone. You're welcome. This is the first time having you in this meeting. You're deeply welcome. We hope to see you further time. So, tonight we are talking about the man God uses. The man God uses. And well, how did this topic come about, and how did this meeting come about for this evening? You see, while I was online from Kenya, she made a write-up with a photo, and the write-up was made from one of my books, that is Revive My Total Man. The caption of the book is Revive My Total Man. So one of the chapters of the book was titled The Man God Uses. So the young lady sent me the photo quotes, and I read it, and I tell you, my heart burned within me as I read it. And whilst my heart burned within me, I knew that the Lord is saying this is the subject for tonight. And all this was happening not really up to 2 hours ago. It was not just long before this study this evening. So it's not something that is totally prepared for, but I sense the Lord saying this matter should be scratched this evening. What is the matter? The man God uses. And I tell you the truth, this is one of the best, I wouldn't use the word best, but I like to say this is one of the most fundamental subjects that should be touched in the body of Christ today. You know, I sent this broadcast, I sent a broadcast of what is to be talked about today, and someone from the U.S., it also follows my teaching, said in their local assembly there, this is the exact topic they have been teaching on this week, and their next meeting this Sunday, they are still going to scratch on this same topic. So I knew and I sensed that this is a burden from heaven, indeed. So why not sit back, get hold of your Bible, so that with us, whoever the Spirit of the Lord will have us navigate to, we will navigate having the Scriptures by our side. I perceive that the Lord is in the hearts of everyone here tonight, present, and those who will be listening to this broadcast. And I perceive that you desire to be used by God. I have not seen any man that has known the Lord that does not desire to be used by God. The desire to be used by God is a righteous one. The desire to be used by God is a purified desire. The desire to be used by God is actually a good one to say. But I'd like you to know that the man God uses, the man God uses is the man God bruises. Get that play on words. The man God uses is the same man God bruises. If God is going to use you, my friend, God will bruise you. If God will use you, God will bruise you. I hope you know what it means to bruise something, for something to be bruised. For something to be bruised means the thing is going to get scratches. The thing is, it's a bruise is not something that gets you comfortable. A bruise always makes you uncomfortable, you see? So the man God uses is the man that will be passed through the fire. Are you seeing? Will be passed through the fire. The man will pass through many processes. When you desire to be used by God, it is good. But I like you not to be kept in the dark. I like you not to be kept in the dark of what actually is to befall you if God will use you. This is not milk, but this is strong bone for the mature in age, as touching spiritual things. The man God uses is the man God bruises. And you see, like Joseph used to receive pleasant dreams, and God showed him beautiful dreams and visions of what was to come. Joseph saw the moon bowing before him. He saw the 11 stars bowing before him, which represents his brothers, the moon representing Jacob, his father. And you see, all of these things Joseph was receiving were actually true, but they were not coming to pass at that moment. Rather, what did Joseph receive? Joseph received persecution. Joseph received imprisonment. He was put into the pit. He was put into the prison. He received slavery, you see? And the shocking thing is, God did not inform Joseph about these things that were to come as touching the pit, the prison. But God showed him the pleasant things that were to come. But God did not show him those things for which he will be tried. You see, there is a program in God where if you will be great, God will show you the things that are ahead of you, the things that are in the future. But those things concerning trials, the angel in charge of visions and revelations for God's children will keep it away from you. Why would the angel keep it away from you? So that you don't get scared, boy. There are some things that if God shows you are ahead of you, you will run away. But God wouldn't show you that. But God shows you those good pictures so that when the trials come, you can hold on to those good pictures. You see, learning from the Messiah in Hebrews 12, he said, "Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross." Read Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. For the joy that was set before the Messiah, he endured the cross. So the Messiah was seeing the crown. He was not just seeing the cross. So the crown helped him to endure the cross. Listen, the life of a generation, when I mean the prosperity of a generation in God, the true advancement of a generation in God depends on this kind of teaching that I am about to emphasize upon tonight by the grace of God. So that's why I'd like you to pay careful attention, and when you're listening and it really touches those sensitive things in destiny, in your destiny, you do make sure you share it with others too. Now, but listen to me. God often shows you the good things to come, but those ones that are not pleasant, he tends to keep it away from you. Why? So that your heart does not get weary. So that your heart does not fail you. But those good visions, you see visions where you become the president of your nation. You see visions as an evangelist where you are commanding millions and millions of crowd and all of that. You see these good visions and you're asking yourself, what is happening? You are seeing these visions while ahead of you, you are just seeing trials and temptations, sufferings and all of that. You ask yourself why. God brings those visions in order to keep you going. Get that understanding, and if you do well to get this, you will do well in exercising patience with God. Don't forget, there is something our generation is lacking. Something our generation is seriously lacking today. There is a virtue we're seriously lacking today, which is called the virtue of patience, the fruit of patience, the fruit of patience. You know, he said, who through faith and patience inherited the promises. We have a generation of people tonight, and this generation that just claim to have faith but don't exercise patience. See Hebrews 6 verse 12. Let me read that for you. This is a Bible study, so I expect everyone that is connected or listening to this broadcast in any part of the world to pay careful attention, because your future in God may depend on a teaching like this. I'm being sincere with you. And myself also, my future in God depends on such teachings. Hebrews 6 verse 12, if you read with me, you will see that the King James says that, "Be you not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises." You see, we have a people today that profess faith. And the average preacher today talks faith. But to obtain the promise is not only faith you need. Not only faith you need. You also need what they call patience. Somebody say patience. That's where we lack it. That's where we miss it. Who through faith, and you see people talking about faith, "No, I have faith that this is going to happen." But they end up not having patience with God. Now, where does patience come in? Man, if you will be used by God, the man God uses will be a man that must be a man that understands patience. If you don't have patience with God, I tell you, you will return back to Egypt to eat the garlics of Egypt. And guess what? When you eat those garlics of Egypt, you get what they call spiritual halitosis. Your mouth begins, your breath begins to smell. Let me keep that. That is a deep message for another day. Now, the man God uses has to understand several things. The several things you must need to understand, because I perceive that the Lord desires to use you, and I don't know the sphere God wants to use you. And the using God does is not only in the realm of religion. It's not just in the realm of the fivefold ministry, either becoming an apostle, a prophet, an evangelist, a pastor, or a teacher. God does not only use us in these dimensions alone. The man God uses, it touches different spheres. And there is a sphere of politics. God can use you in the realm of politics, I tell you. God can use you in the realm of politics like he did to Daniel. God can use you in the realm of government like he did through Joseph the righteous. God can use you in any realm, in any sphere. So we shouldn't limit ourselves. Are we together? You don't limit yourself to saying it must be within the body of Christ that God will use you. No, he said, "Go you into the world and preach this gospel." There are some people God will have to preach the gospel in offices, in government offices, in private offices, in institutions, in academic institutions, in commercial institutions, in just everywhere. Go ye into the world. So the man God uses, I want you to remove the picture of, I want you to remove your eyes from just being restrained to the four walls of the church or the body of Christ alone. No, we're also talking about the world, how God uses a man, what the man passes through. Indeed, God has used men in the times past. God is using men today, and if Jesus tarries to come, God will use men tomorrow. So I don't want you that are lovers of Gag sermons, or wherever you are located in the world, I wouldn't like you to be a mediocre. I vowed never to be a mediocre in my time and dispensation. I don't live my life for my generation alone. I believe that I am called to be an apostle to generations. That is to say, even when I am gone, my works will still speak in the name of the Lord to generations to come. So if you are actually following our teachings, I don't want you to be a mediocre. You must not be a mediocre. You must live a life that is worthy. Look at the likes of Joseph. Joseph lived a transgenerational life. Joseph has been there for more than 1,000 years. He passed through this earth, but we still resonate that name Joseph every day of our life. Look at Paul. Paul has been here for more than 1,000 years, but we still call that name Paul because of their works. They are gone, but their works speak for them. So I want to speak to a people whom, after they are gone, their works will still speak. Are we talking about the political realm? A man like Martin Luther, that was an activist, Martin Luther King, that was an activist. I don't mean Martin Luther of the Reformations. I mean Martin Luther King of America, the man that God used so much to address the subject of racism in America and equality. Now, listening to me, Martin Luther King was used by God, actually. He was used by God, but not within the four walls of the church, but in government, in the political realm. So listening to me, I believe I'm talking to people who God will use to change systems. I'm speaking to people who God will use to pattern generations after God. That's the people I'm talking to. I'm not speaking to mediocres. I'm speaking to people who will be great in God and with God. Hallelujah. If you are connected to this, I'd like you to write at the comment section, I will be great in God. And that is prophetic, and the Lord is going to do that. So I don't want it to be a mediocre. It's a good thing you desire to be used by God. It's a good thing to be desirous in this matter. There are men God had used in time past, but then I want to drop some requisites for us. Some requisites, some ingredients. You see, my wife happens, okay, let me leave that for now. Let me leave that for now. You see, there are things you need for your body to be active. There are vitamins and minerals that you need for the sustenance of your body. It is just not negotiable. There are some things you need. So this kind of teaching, what we are listening to today, is the kind of thing we need in order to gain relevance with God for our generation. God bless you all that are saying, I'll be great with God. The Lord will make you so. All of you, I can't stand mentioning names. The list is plenty here. All of you, the Lord will confirm this desire in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, get it first. The desire to be used by God is a holy one. It's holy unto God. God loves it. So the man God uses is not just in the realm of the church alone. God uses men in other spheres of life likewise. And I like you to hold this point. The man God uses is the man of the secret place. Hallelujah. The man God uses is the man of the secret place. Look at men of old whom God used. They were men of the secret place. Are we talking about from the days of Noah the righteous? Are we talking of the father Abraham? Are we talking about Daniel? Daniel that was in Babylon controlling systems and yet had a lively altar. I see some of you saying, my job is the reason why I don't have time for God. Oh, my job is taking my time. Oh, my academics is taking my time. Oh, my business doesn't give me time to study and pray. Wow. If you have all these excuses, what should Daniel say? Daniel was in charge of the prefects of Babylon. He was in charge of the prefects, even of the senators in those. In fact, Daniel was relevant in almost three separate governments, even after Nebuchadnezzar. But yet, Daniel had time. Daniel had time for God. It was said of Daniel that he will go. He will climb upstairs and open the door facing Jerusalem. And he prayed 3 times a day. Yet the man was busy in government. The man was busy in government, but yet he had time to pray. You see, if you have time to eat, you have time to bath, you have time to go to toilet, you have time to wash your clothes, and you cannot say you don't have time for God. Get that. Correct the mindset. Now, the man God uses is the man of the secret place. If we lose the secret place, we have lost everything else. The day we lose the secret place is the day we lose everything in God. The secret place is that place where God meets with us one-on-one. It's the place of the altar. It's the meeting place. Look at witches of our days. They are very diligent with their secret place. Witches don't miss out on their meetings. They don't trade their meeting for anything. Even if you give a witch 1 million naira or $1 million, the witch will not miss meeting because the witch knows what they stand to benefit in their meeting. In their meeting is a place of empowerment. They are empowered in the place of meeting, in the place of the altar. Their altar is their meeting place with whatsoever spirit empowers and energizes them. So as a believer, the altar, the secret place, is your place of empowerment. Without the secret place, you cannot be empowered to be used by God. This is straightforward. This is straightforward. Without contact with the secret place, you cannot receive empowerment. It is in the place of, it's in the secret place that we receive spiritual empowerment for service. There's something they call the depletion of anointing. Let's say you are serving, and you are not going back to refuel and to refuel. I tell you the truth, what becomes of you is that you run out of fuel like a vehicle and you can get knocked down. You can get your engine knocked down. Your engine can knock down if actually you don't put the right oil and fuels in that engine. Are you seeing? So when we come to the place of prayer and the study of the Word of God, it serves like the oil is put in the vehicle and the fuel, so that the vehicle does not break down. So, the man God uses, number one, must be a man of the secret place. Oh, Jesus, that is the place I yearn to be. That is the place I yearn to be all the days of my life. The secret place is the meeting place with deity. The secret place is the meeting place with divinity. The secret place is the meeting place with the Elohim. It's the place where God strengthens man. Is the place where the immortal God strengthens and empowers mortal men. Now listen to me. If you lose the secret place, you will not actually be relevant in the program of God, because there is no place for God to touch your head. There is no place for God to anoint your lips with coals of fire. There is no place for God to touch your head with the oil of His anointing. So how will you be anointed accurately if you are not given to the secret place? How will you? We have so many people today standing on the pulpit, but yet without a secret place with God. Our life has become a public life, only public show. When we pray, only when we pray in the public, but the secret place, we have lost the art of prayer. Oh, may God revisit my generation. May the Lord revisit us, because we have lost many good things. I tell you, we have just a public life. You see, even the average evangelist going out and preaching the gospel, telling sinners to repent, preaching the salvation of our Lord, but yet the evangelist does not have a secret place. You just rise up like a tornado and go out to preach. Who told you things are done that way? Don't you know man is a spirit? And for you to be able to persuade the spirit of man into light, you must be a light bearer likewise. Light must be radiating in your spirit, man, for you to be able to usher another man into that realm of light. So if you are not carrying light, what you will be speaking will rather be offensive to them, because because deep calls to the deep. Deep calleth to the deep. If we must be great in God, we must be men and women of the secret place. I tell you, this is not the only emphasis I have for tonight, but this is one thing God is pressing in my spirit today. Many of us have left that secret altar. We have left that secret altar where God makes men great. It's in this secret place that God makes men great. The man God uses is the man of the secret place. In the secret place, the man has fellowship with God in prayer and in the word of God. In the secret place, the man meditates in the word of God. The man communicates with God in prayer. And that transaction is not negotiable. So if you desire to be used by God, think about your altar. Oh, brakashakaladia balagadias. As I'm talking, I just saw a vision. I saw a vision of an angel standing by me. Glory to Jesus. The Lord is in this meeting tonight. The Lord is in this meeting. And I don't know, but there are so many people tonight that God will be rebuilding many broken walls in your life. I mean, I just saw an angel stand by my side clearly, and it is evident that the Lord wants to do something through this utterance. The Lord is about to do something. The Lord is about to do something. The secret place is the place where God prepares men. Where God prepares men. You see, Jesus taught them to pray in Matthew 6, and he said, go to the secret and pray to your Father, and you will be rewarded in the open. You see, before you are rewarded in the open, you must have the secret place where you go to pray to God. Your secret altar must be revived. The fire upon your secret altar must be rekindled once again. Glory to Jesus. Glory to Jesus. Glory to Jesus. We have a generation today. I emphasize this again. I re-emphasize this now. That we have a generation that is just carried away with public life. Public shows and all of that. No secret contact with God. No one-on-one contact with God. No one-on-one contact with God. When last did you stay with God alone, talking to him and hours gone? And you keep doing that every day, and it becomes an integral part of your life. When last, the secret place is a place where God makes men. So listen to me. If you be a man God uses in your generation, it may be as a pastor, it may be as a politician, it may be as a businessman, it may be as whatsoever you have found yourself doing today. And if God will use you, you must be a man of the secret place. You must be a man of the secret place. If God will use you, be a man of the secret place. And that is not negotiable. That is not negotiable. That is not negotiable. In 1 Kings chapter 17, I'd like to show you something. I can quote this and just continue the study, but I want us to read it and see with our eyes. 1 Kings 17. Look at something about a man that was used by God thousands of years ago to rebuild the broken altars of the Lord in Israel. And that is the man Elijah. Elijah was a man that called in fire from heaven. Literal fire. Physical. The fire descended. Elijah was a man that declared that before God whom I stand, there shall be no rain. And there was no rain 3.5 years at the word of Elijah. And the same man released rain to begin to fall. Now you ask yourself, what was the power system, what was the system that was empowering this man? What was the system that was empowering Elijah? What was the force behind this power? Listen to me. Anybody you see making great impact today, there is a secret to that person. It is either of light or it is of darkness. When you see someone excelling today, that person actually is sponsored by a spirit. And the spirit that facilitates the prosperity of the person is either in the realm of light or in the realm of darkness. There are many people that do business with fallen angels, and as a result, they get anointed by these fallen angels and they begin to excel in their world. You see, for you to become anything, that the world stands still at the hearing of that thing, you will be sponsored by a spirit. I say again, it is either a spirit of light or a spirit of darkness. Now, we are a people of light. We have no communion, neither do we have fellowship with darkness. So we are going to be sponsored by the spirit of light. So that is why we must know the protocols that are obtainable in the realm of light, so that we can walk according to these principles or protocols as it may be. Now, Elijah did mighty things in his generation. Look at 1 Kings 17 verse 1. I read, he said, "And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain this year, but according to my word." Now Elijah said, "As the Lord liveth." You see, before whom I stand. He had an identity in God. Before whom I stand. He had a stand in God. He had a right standing with God. You see, that is to show a man of the secret place. 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 Before God whom I stand, Elijah was a bearer of light. And he carried the presence of God wherever he went to. So even while standing and talking to the king, he was still standing with God. Hallelujah. Before God whom I stand, Elijah understood the blessings of the secret place. He did not take that for granted. He did not take that for granted. He did not take that for granted. The secret place. Before God whom I stand. My friend, can you look at yourself in the mirror? Tell yourself, before God whom I stand. And see to yourself whether you are telling yourself true or you are telling yourself a lie. Do you actually have a standing with God? Look at yourself in the mirror. Do you actually have a stand with God? You see, many of us are falling. It will be said of many of us, before God whom I fall every day. Elijah said, before God whom I stand, I have a standing with Him. I have a standing with Him. Many of us, we are like wounded soldiers that every day, the Lord will be sending His angels to come pick us up, because we're always falling, always falling, always falling, always falling, falling, falling. But the plan of God is not for you to keep falling. It's for you to stand, stand in the name of the Lord. Stand in the name of the Lord. There are many people today, they are falling. Tomorrow they hear a message and the message hits them and they are standing again. The next week they are falling again. They hear somebody preaching in the streets, they are standing again. The next time they are falling, standing, falling. That is not the plan of God for you. That is not the plan of God for you. God wants you to stand and stand firm. And stand with your loins guided with truth. Hallelujah. With a blessed breastplate of righteousness. With a shield of faith. With a sword of the Spirit. With a helmet of salvation. With the shoes for the preparation of the gospel of peace. Hallelujah. Making supplications in the Spirit everywhere, every day. Before God whom I stand. That is to say, in the place of prayer, he is standing. The man God will use. In the place of prayer, he is standing. In the place of the word, fellowship with the word of God, he is standing. In the place of fasting, he is standing. In the place of communion with God, he is standing. Before God whom I stand. Are we standing? Are we standing? If you are falling, I command you in the name of the Lord Jesus, rise up and walk in the name of Jesus. Everyone that is falling, tonight, the Spirit of the Lord descends upon you and you rise up and you stand before the Lord in all grace and power. in the name of Jesus. Elijah is a man that God used. But before this man could call down fire, you have seen. He called down fire in chapter 18. But you see in chapter 17 that this man could say, before God, whom I stand. There are some things that are not by coincidence. You think God will just rise up and just do miracles anyhow and anywhere like that? No. There are vessels he prepares. Before Elijah could do those miracles, he had a standing with God. If you be a man of miracles, if you be a man with mighty signs and wonders following your ministry, you must have a stand with God. You go to a crusade and you see an evangelist say, in the name of Jesus, everyone that is crippled, rise up and walk. Everyone that is blind, receive your sight. Everyone that is deaf, begin to hear. And results begin to happen. Hundreds are getting healed, delivered. Demons are crying out, people are getting saved. And you are sitting in one place and saying, wow, well, it's not a big deal, I can do that. Okay? Go to that podium, carry the mic, and say those words that servant of God is saying, if you have those results. You wouldn't have even 1%. Because it's not a game of chance. It's not just by calling the name Jesus. No. Why you are calling that name Jesus? Do you have a stand with him in a secret place? Do you have a stand in a secret place? Do you have a room in the secret place? Is there any room in the courts of God that God will say, this room has the bearing the name of my servant? His name is Peter Pui. We say that her name is Osse Seunelo, or her name is Marita Smart Jr. In my court, this is her room, and I meet with her every day. Can God say that of you? Can God say that of you? The man God uses must be the man of the secret place. If you don't become a man of the secret place, you can't become a man of power. Listen to me. We are gone past those days that miracles will be wrought by pastors, evangelists, apostles, prophets, or teachers alone. No. We are in those days that someone can be a righteous politician in his nation and during a political meeting and someone falls sick and you rise up and in the name of Jesus, you proclaim that person healed and the person is healed instantly. And before you know, the people begin to say, amen and brethren, what shall we do to be saved? That is it. That is it. That is why we need the power. The power cannot come without the secret place. That is why we must stand. We must stand, stand, stand. Enough of the falling. Enough of the falling. Enough of 3 days of consistency. Then the next 3 months of inconsistency. Enough! Somebody say, enough is enough. I like to see you write at the comment section, enough is enough. This is the time to rise. We will rise in your name, Adonai. You reign all night. Casting crowns, lifting heads, bowing down. Is all we've come to do. Casting crowns, lifting heads, bowing down. Is all we've come to do. Adonai, Adonai, Adonai. You reign on high. We will rise in your name. Adonai, you reign on high. This is the season that we are going to rise. And when we rise this time, it will not be 1 month in and 1 year off. No, no, no. It's a time that we are going to be consistent with the altar. We are going to be consistent with the altar in this season of life. It's a time that we are going to rise and rise. Indeed, that we are going to stand and stand indeed. We are going to rise and rise indeed and stand indeed. So the man God uses is the man of the secret place. Elijah said, before God do my start, there shall be no rain. And indeed, what happened? God honored the word of his servant. He confirmed the word of his servant and performed the counsels of his messengers. Because these people have a place in him. They have a place in the secret within. Hallelujah. So the man God uses tonight and forever must be a man of the secret place. I reject every spirit of rising and falling. Someone just said that. And that is going to be your portion in the name of Jesus. The spirit of rising and falling is taken away from you. Anyone under the sound of my voice, the spirit of rising and falling is off you. In the name of Jesus, it's taken away from you. And the spirit of standing firm with God is deposited inside of you. And it will be said of you that he stood with God. In the name of Jesus. Glory to Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. Glory to Jesus. So the man God uses is the man of the secret place. He's a man of the secret place. I wanted to emphasize upon the other points, but the Lord is having me stay on the subject of the secret place. See? The subject of the secret place. I'd like you to see something in Mark chapter 3 verse 14. Get your Bible. This is GAG Bible study, and I believe we are students of the Bible, and we love to search the Bible. Go to Mark chapter 3 verse 14. I'd like to read for us. Mark 3 verse 14. It says, and he ordained 12 that they should be with him, and that he might send them forth to preach. Hallelujah. See, to have power to heal sicknesses and to cast out devils. Now, Jesus ordained 12 that he should be with him and that he might send them forth to preach. You see the protocol and the principle there, the principle we can capture there is that there must be the place, the secret place, before the place of showing. So they have to be with Jesus first before he sends them to the world. They have to be with Jesus first. So now it is evident that we have a generation that just wants to be sent. Everyone wants to be sent today. Lord, send me, send me. But we have a few people who desire to stay with him in the secret. You know, it is actually needful that the disciples stayed with the Messiah before the Messiah sent them forth. Because if they go forth without staying with the Messiah, they will not, one, they will not represent the Messiah accurately. They will not represent the Messiah consistently. You see, they will be like the wind tossed to and fro. And I want you to know clearly that staying with the Messiah first is not to waste time. It's actually for our own empowerment, for our own building and growth, first of all. So Jesus said that they might first be with him and that he might send them. So that when he sends them, they will not struggle with those results, like they will be accurate stewards. Their stewardship will be true in that they have stayed with the Messiah and they have known his ways and they have learned of him. Jesus said to Martha, you are cumbered about many things, but Mary has chosen a part which will not be taken from her, because she was learning at the master's feet. We have a generation of people today who will not learn at the master's feet, who will have a sense of calling into the ministry and off. They have gone into Bible school, and after bagging Bible school certificates, wow, they have opened a Jesus will make me great ministry. And like you know, because they have not learned from God but from man, when they start their operations, they begin to operate like men. And the Bible says, you will die like men in Psalm 82. You see, it is important that we actually learn of the Messiah. And we learn of him in the secret place. There are things that God will teach you that no man can teach you. There are things that God will teach you that no Bible institute will teach you. And what God teaches you is actually more in the secret place than it is in the open. God will teach you through, God will school you through many tests and trials and all of that, so that you may come and try it as a fine gold to represent him accurately in your generation. So if God must use you, you must be a man of the secret place. There are many things that the devil is using now, and we think it is actually God. Actually, that's by the way. But if God will use you, you must be given to the secret place. All of us. It's a place that we must desire to stay with him in personal fellowship with the Messiah, personal communion, coming to union. I call communion coming to union with the Messiah, learning of him. In that place, the Lord begins to build us. So Jesus said that they might first be with me and that I may send them. It is from the secret place he does the sending. We have many people today that are called but not sent in the ministry. Many people today, they are in the ministry, they have been called, but they were not sent. And that's a problem. If God has called you, know that there is a difference between the calling and the sending. The calling is call. Whenever you see in the scriptures where he talks about call, and he called this, if you read Romans 8 and you see that whom he called, whom he predestinated, he did called, and whom he did call, he justified, whom he justified, he glorified. Now, the calling there is kalio, and that kalio, that Greek word, is like a shout. It's like someone is calling your name. Clear! From far, you're hearing your name. Tebogo! From far. Is the call is a loud one. Now, it is true that God has called many, and it is clear, but the sending is actually contingent upon the mind of God for that individual. God may have called someone, does not mean the Lord has sent the person on that assignment. Before the Lord sends, he first equips. So in the for the man God uses, he first has him be with him, like Jesus had the disciples be with him, so that he might send them. The sending is apostolic. It is an apostolic move. So we must actually desire the secret place, because it is in that place that God deploys his army. He deploys his army in that place. You see, soldiers, when they have an assignment or when they want to go for a battle, they first have trainings. They have secret trainings. And those trainings, when the commander has looked and all of that, they cannot deploy the soldiers to the battlefield. You see, many people today have collected injuries because they didn't have the training of the Messiah before going out there. That is why the enemy captured so many. Have you wondered why Paul will write to the church and why Paul will write to Timothy and said the bishop must not be a novice? In the bishopric, you must not be a novice. Because the man is a novice in that he has not learned from the Messiah. He was just sent, he was made a bishop, but then he had not learned from the Messiah. Okay, I'd like us to go to the epistles of Paul. Let's see his letter to Timothy. Yes. Let's see what the demands of bishopric were as Paul revealed to Timothy. We are talking about the man God uses. So, but I don't know how long this series will go on. But I'm sure that this series will bless you greatly if you are actually called to the ministry. So you will have to, if you are actually called to the ministry in the body of Christ, or the ministry to the government, or the ministry to any sphere of life, just keep it like that, not just to the church alone. Now look at 1 Timothy chapter 3. I'd like to read something there. First Timothy chapter 3. These are rules and regulations. See, some people say, well, the gospel is not about rules and regulations. The kingdom is not about rules. Please, please, please. Our kingdom is not a lawless kingdom. Our kingdom has rules and regulations. Any kingdom that does not have rules and regulations is settling for anarchy. Is settling, in fact, the Bible says, let all things be done orderly. So if there must be orderliness, there must be laws. So we have rules guiding us as believers. Get this clear and let it sink into your spirit, man. 1 Timothy chapter 3, I read verses 1. Paul said, this is a true saying. If a man desires the office of a bishop, you see, or I can say, if a man desires to be used by God, he desires a good work. You see? When you say the word here, bishop, don't see it as one big word like we use the word bishop today. This word bishop is same thing for deacon. It's same thing for deacon. So let me say, if a man desires to be used by God, he desires a good thing. Now look at verse 2. It says, a bishop then must be blameless. You see, blameless, righteous, righteous. The husband of one wife, not the one that you say you want to be used by God. You're getting married to two women. You are already married and you're scouting for other girls, pursuing other girls. No, 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 no. No, no, no. A bishop must be a husband of one wife. Vigilant. If you'll be used by God, you must be vigilant. You must be sober. You must be of good behavior. You must be given to hospitality. What does it mean to be given to hospitality? To meet the needs of the poor. To attend. See, listen to me. Jesus, all the miracles Jesus was doing was actually because of one thing, compassion. He will always have compassion for the weak, for the poor, for the sick. You see, if you are in the healing ministry and you don't have compassion for the sick, the healing anointing will not flow. It is out of the wells of that compassion that the mercy of God will flow through you and be extended to that person to heal the person. So if you see sick people and it doesn't move you at all, you cannot operate the healing anointing. You cannot operate the healing ministry. Are you getting me clear? If you're getting blessed, I'd like you to write, I'm getting blessed. Let me know those of us that are still following. So for you to be functional and have results in the healing ministry, you must actually have compassion. Read through the Gospels, you see that Jesus always had, now, throughout the Gospel, from Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you will notice something. In most cases where Jesus healed the sick or raised the dead, you will always see he had compassion. He had compassion. Search the word compassion in the Bible. Wherever you see it, you will see that the next thing Jesus was to heal somebody or to deliver somebody. He will always have compassion. You will see people and yet you don't have compassion for people. God cannot use it for people. Most of the people God releases the wealth anointing to is actually people that have compassion for the poor. That have this thing that troubles them when they see people dying in poverty. They say, oh God, if you can use me, if you can use me, Lord, I will wipe away the tears from those who are poor. I will meet the needs in the church. I will meet the needs for the kingdom to see that the gospel does not suffer lack in my time. You see, it is out of the wells, the bowels of that compassion that God begins to release virtue. God begins to release virtue. Virtue will be released. Virtue will be released because of compassion. Throughout the Gospels, Jesus always had compassion before he heals. You see, and he had compassion on the blind. And he said, be healed. And say, this thing. I want you to know, I've not forgotten what I'm reading in 1 Timothy 3, but I just have to buttress this point. See, you know your calling by your body. Know your calling by your body. Know your calling by your body. Your body is your calling. Your body is your calling. Your calling gives you body. Oh, I pray you understand what I'm saying. I pray you understand what I'm saying. If you are this type that you are walking on the road and you are seeing people sick, and when you see people sick, you are moved to just go and just, you can easily operate the healing ministry. Yes, God can use you to heal the sick easily because of that compassion. If you are the type that when you see error in the body of Christ
an erroneous teaching and you feel uncomfortable, you don't feel at rest whenever you see such error, you know that God is giving you a teaching ministry for correcting errors. Yes. Yes. You see, you know your burden by your calling. It goes on and on, 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 on and on. You love to just see people sing. You just love to sing. Then you know that God has something for you in the singing ministry. Yes. Your burden explains your calling. Get this clear. Yes. Know your burden. Know your calling. Know your calling by your burden. Clear. Okay. Now we write, we progress in what we're reading. A bishop must then be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach. You see, apt to teach. Now, you should always be eager to teach people the ways of God. If you be a man God will use, always be eager to teach people the ways of God. Be eager to teach, beginning from your family, beginning from your community, beginning from your Jerusalem to the uttermost parts of the earth. You must be apt to teach. That is, apt means ready to teach. 3, not giving to wine, no striker, not greedy or filthy looker, but patient. You see patience? Not a brawler, not covetous. Now, look at these ingredients here. You should have it. But because of time, I'll just read verse 6. He said, not a novice, lest being filled, being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. Not a novice. See, for that sake of not being a novice, Jesus will always have his people stay with him at a secret place to teach them before he sends them. Even when he sends you, the secret place, you can never graduate from the secret place. You still remain a student of the secret place. You remain a student of the secret place until the day you die. You can never pray and pray and pray enough. No. You keep praying and praying and praying and praying till the day you leave the earth. Yes. Know your burden by your calling. Know your calling by your burden. Hallelujah. Oh, no. Time is far spent. We have just 4 minutes, and I'm so disciplined with my time. Just 3 minutes now. I'm so disciplined with my time. Oh, no. Okay, we're going to continue next week. We're talking about the man God uses. I know at this juncture, you've caught one or two things. If you have not absorbed it, I'd like you to meditate afterwards. And then the teaching will also be shared throughout all our social media platforms. In www.gagsermons, you find the teachings, and our Telegram channel, you find the teaching on all our channels to maybe listen again and catch what has been said. But until we meet next week to continue this meeting, please, I want you to talk to God in these remaining 3 minutes. And say, Jesus, please, I want to be used by you. Just help me. Say, Lord, I cannot help myself. See, I cannot help myself. See, many of us are too proud. You are even too proud when you are praying to God. You are forming Superman when you are praying to God. Can you humble yourself? Tell him, Lord, you are not strong. Tell him, Lord, I am not strong. I'm not strong. Lord, I am weak. I am an earthen vessel. You know, we have this glory in earthen vessels. Say, Lord, I am weak. I cannot help myself. Please help me, Jesus. Go ahead. Say, Lord, I am not strong. Please help me. Help me, Lord. Help me, Jesus. Rakabo Skeleman Jenny Komba Radias. Go ahead and talk to the Lord. Say, help me, Jesus. Help me, Jesus. I want to be used by you, but please help me, Lord. Help me. I see a generation of young men and women that will be used massively by God. Men that will be used by God and not be dumped, but be used and glorified. It says, for whom he did predestinate, those he also did call. Whom he did call, he justified. Whom he justified, he glorified. See, the Lord is going to use each and every one of us for his glory.
in every sphere of life that the Lord keeps us. We will be relevant with God. We will be relevant with God. There are some of us the Lord will use in the government. Some of us the Lord will use in politics. I see some of us God will use in the academias. I see some of us God will use in commerce. I see some of us God will use in the business world. I see many of us God will use and as financial pillars to see that the gospel spreads to the ends of the earth. The Lord will use us in every capacity that is necessary, and we will not lose our rewards. May the Lord bless you all, in Jesus' name.
God, through His servant, Apostle Christian Nwoke, has just delivered to you a message from heaven. Now you are blessed and empowered to lead a victorious life by the power of the risen Christ. Amen.
For your programs, bookings, crusade and testimonies, message us on WhatsApp with +234 703246 9360. You can follow Apostle Christian Nwoke on Facebook. Download our messages through the following platforms: www.foreshare.com or by messaging us on WhatsApp. You can also get the messages on our Telegram and YouTube channel by searching Apostle Christian Nwoke. Visit our website www.ghsermons.com for more information.
You can also spread the gospel we preach by becoming a kingdom partner with us through your love offerings. Kindly message us on WhatsApp with +234 703 246 9360 to become a partner.
We are God's Army Global, bringing the fullness of God to every man, and taking us numberless as the sand by the seashore to heaven with us, even you.